Welcome to an audio stream from San Marino Community Church, featuring our own pastoral staff and various guest speakers.
So this summer we have been hearing some stories from the Bible, and I don't know about you, but I grew up going to church and realizing that this book had stories in it that could come alive, and based on the awesomeness of my Sunday school teacher or the person who was teaching me and the pastors, it came alive. But there was some point in maybe your life, but definitely my life, where I started thinking that this Bible, it either goes to the side of, well, those are good stories, but I don't have time for them, and it falls by the wayside. Or you really latch on to them and understand the deeper meaning of them. And I think that probably most of the people sitting in here are of the latter, where those stories grabbed onto you and there was a deeper meaning for your life because of them, because perhaps of the way that they were unpacked, perhaps because of a certain person in your life. But nonetheless, these pages of the Bible who've been wrestled with by you, and that's why you're sitting here. For a lot of us, the Bible got a lot more interesting once we started hearing preachers that were able to unpack them. But you know what? It's 2017. Why on earth do we still read something that was written thousands and thousands of years ago? I mean, after all, I have a friend who has a Tesla who was telling me the other week that his brakes were fixed overnight through his wireless system. That's insane. It's 2017, so why are we so stuck on reading such an ancient document? Just the middle school kids last night, they were updating me. They're like, oh, did you hear that on BuzzFeed? And I said, oh man, I think I'm behind the times. Because something had happened on their BuzzFeed at 9 a.m. that morning, and so 9 p.m. that night, I was looking at something, and I had already missed it. Don't you miss when the news cycles used to be so much longer, and you didn't feel like you missed it? It's amazing that it's 2017 and we're still reading such an ancient text that is confusing and joyful. One of my favorite things is to read people's Facebook feed, right? Or Instagram feed, or comments going back and forth between email, depending on where you are on that. I wanted to cover everyone. I love reading those people's ideas and concepts, and I love it when people get into fights. How many of you love it when people get into fights, right? And you have to keep on reading. It's like a telenovela. You're just all about it. And I read and I scroll through and I'm like, yes. And those realized thoughts are mine. Those thoughts, that confusion, that joy, whatever is happening with it, those are mine too, and I resonate with them. And when I read the ancient scriptures, and I don't know if this happens to you, I resonate with them also. Because the story from thousands and thousands of years ago, just as well as might have been the story of today. Like today's story, Gideon, you'll notice that it's back and forth, very small print. There's a whole story of Gideon. We could read it. We'll read it later. But I think that the story is alive. But nonetheless, the people are lonely. They're broken. They've been treating others as inferior. They've mismanaged their money. They've oppressed the poor. They've got conservative laws that have been moving more towards a liberal action and agenda. They've got addictions. They've got adultery. Any of this sound familiar? You could add cyberbullying, and this might as well be 2017. The Bible has been written and is still very alive for our lives today. You see, the people of Gideon's time, that's the character that we're understanding today, and Natalie did a wonderful job understanding who this person is. Gideon was a guy, and he was up against the Midianites. Now, this was a time and a place, but I'll say that this time and a place could be very well now. So the character is Gideon, but the character is also you. And the people that we're up against are the Midianites, but they're also that other. And I'll let you fill in the blank, whatever you have going on. So they had this image of gods. And I say plural because they were unknown to this God, our Yahweh, this Lord. And they didn't understand who this person was of their ancestors. So their version of gods was what you learned in school. Remember the ancient gods of the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Midianites, they all had these versions of gods. And it was basically you put in for a vending machine god, and you put in A3, and the Milky Way bar came down just like your afternoon pick-me-up. You put in A3, and that thing came out, that thing that you're requesting from God. Dear God, please give me A. Please save me from. Please don't have this. And it became a vending machine god. And that's what they were up against. And this isn't something that is new. This is something that we wrestle with also. The Midianites did not know the God of their ancestors, this God of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac. This loving God's presence was always there. But you know what had happened? They themselves had stepped away. They themselves had stepped away. It's never God who moves God's presence from their life. It's always us who have stepped away. And we don't understand where God has been. And we cry out, where is God? And so God comes to Gideon in this moment and he says, hey, Gideon, I want you to do something. I want you to be the hero of this story. And Gideon's like, what? Who, me? No, not this guy. I am the wrong one. He falls in line with Jonah and Jeremiah and all of the other prophets before him. Not me, not this guy. I don't know you, God. In fact, I've heard about you, and you haven't done such a great job these past thousands of years. Because my grandma and grandpa have been telling me about stories of how you were with them, and I haven't felt your presence. Where have you been, God? Where have you been? I'm no mighty hero. And so there's this time in the Bible, and that's why it's a story. I love it. There's this time where Gideon and God learn to trust one another. Did you ever have that time in your life when you wanted to figure out whether God was real? You ever, like, trust him? So here's the story of Gideon. You probably know this. So there's this thing with the fleece. He says, hey, God, if you're going to be real, I'm going to put out a piece of fleece. And in the morning, I want the fleece to be wet and all of the ground around it to be dry. So Gideon goes to bed, unlike you guys did last night. They went to bed. They woke up and he looks out and it is what it is. The fleece is wet and the ground around it is dry. And of course he doesn't trust God at that point, and so he needs to do it again. And so the next night he's like, hey God, never make a deal with God. But God is playing along with this for some reason. There's a lot of deep behind that, but that's another sermon. So he says to God, hey, I want the fleece to be wet, because it could have just been a fluke, right? I want the fleece to be wet. No, I want the fleece to be dry and the ground around it to be wet. So Gideon goes to sleep. And then wakes back up again. And in the morning, what do you know? The fleece is dry and the ground is wet. This lets him know that God is on his team. Now, loneliness is something that we certainly feel and we know and we understand. And Gideon felt like he was alone until that moment. And he felt God's presence with him, God's powerful presence with him. And then he felt a little bit more like he could do something. Have you ever felt like God was with you in the thing that you were about to do? Walking with you into a job interview, walking with you into a classroom. We're never alone. God is always with us. And then there comes this, my favorite part of this scripture. What God is asking Gideon to do is Gideon has his army. He's gathered the troops. We heard it was 20,000. And God says, that's too big of a squad, right? What's a squad, guys? Talk to me. What's a squad? What's the definition of it? A group of people who go around with you doing things. And you do it as a team. Now, is this like a lot of people, or is this like a few select chosen people?
It can be either one.
It's select. I'm going to go with select, right? So Well, that's what I understood it was. I got a big talking to from Gracie Modine last night, and she's like, this is my squad, and she introduced me, and there were three people in the squad, and there's definitely an in and an out. So Gideon has too big of a squad, and he's supposed to go up against these big, bad, evil Midianites. And God says, you and your squad are going to go up against these Midianites, but I don't want you to think that it's all you and your power and might. Because if you have 20,000 people, that's a lot. I mean, we've all seen Game of Thrones. If you go up against people with that many people, the odds are you're going to win. And it's going to be your strength and your might, and it's going to be you, Gideon. And God says, no, it's my power, my strength, my might. So he does a couple of weird things. There's this whole thing of like, hey, army, if you want to go, you think this is a little scary, go ahead and go. And he says, bye. 10,000 people leave. And so now he's just down to 10,000. And God still says, that is too many. Now at this point, he's now down numbers against the Midianites. And so God says, have everyone go to the stream, and there are going to be people who drink the water by sticking their face into the water. There's going to be people who cup the water with their hands and drink like that. And there's going to be people who invented the straw. No, I'm just kidding. I made up that part. And God just says, the people who cup their hands and drink, they're the ones that are going to be with you. I don't know why thousands and thousands of people would dunk their head into the water, but that's what happened. Only 300 people took their hands and cupped them and drank with the water. That seems fairly logical to me. Also, making a straw seems fairly logical to me, but that was way further along invention. So now he's down to 300 people as his squad. And he goes up against the Midianites, and they surround the Midianites. And they all get a giant jar. And what they do is they yell out. Do you guys remember what the phrase was? A sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Nice. We're going to say that together, so I want you to remember that. So they say, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And they smash their clay jars, and it makes a voluminous sound. So much so that the Midianites are confused with one another and scared with one another, and they hurt one another, and they are defeated. Isn't that amazing? The power of the community of God can go against whatever. Now, you're adults in this room. There's a lot of layers to this, right? Okay, so God is telling the story of a group of people who are able to do something together, and they go up against something. When has that ever happened in your life? Where you felt like you needed your people, your group of who you are, to go up against something, someone. Because again, we never go at it alone. We have God with us, and God provides us our squad, our group, our people. The other layer is sometimes your squad doesn't have the right people in it. So God goes through this pruning time of saying, hey, if you don't want to be in my group, if you don't want to be part of my team, I'm going through something right now. I need you to be part of this. And if they say no, you just wave goodbye and say thanks. There's people remaining. There's still probably too many. So you go and you ask them, would you lap up water with me? There's a layer behind that. And some people will go and some people will stay. And the people that are there to shout with you, to be with you, to go up against the hardest things in life with you, that's your squad. That's your community. Perhaps that's a small group. Perhaps that's a group of people that you're sitting with right now. Who knows? I want you all to feel the power of what it's like to have a church community. And so we're not going to yell a sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon. We're going to yell something that's a little bit more contemporary. We're going to yell, I love you. And we're going to yell it at the top of our lungs. And I want you to yell it at the person next to you. Okay? You guys ready? So the words are, I love you. Any complications about that? Okay, we're going to do it all together. We're going to take a deep breath. And now I'm not going to say it very loudly because I'm very audible at this moment, okay? So I'm just going to mouth the words, but you're going to yell it at the top of your lungs to the person sitting next to you, and we're going to take a deep breath. Ready? One, two, three. Do you feel that power? Do you feel that amazingness? Do you feel that release of I'm on your team? I love you. I'm with you. I'm with you no matter what. So I want you to take some time as we close this morning and think about who is in your squad. Who needs to be let go from your squad? Where do you need to go find a squad? Now, I'll be honest, I've been in a couple of different small groups through different seasons of my life, and this is a plug for being in a small group. And in those of you who have been in one, you know. And those of you who have not been in one, I want you to get to know. Get together with a group of people who are like-minded Christians, but also not like-minded enough to not challenge you. And if you need help finding that group of people, Jan and myself and Sophia, we can help you find those people. But they might be the person that you just shouted, I love you to. Who knows? Would you pray with me? Oh Lord our God, we are so thankful for who you are and who you are in our lives. And we can't believe that you are a part of our lives in the way that you are. And we can't believe that you'd be with us through thick and thin. And God, we know that there is thick and we know that there is thin. Our lives are not uncomplicated. They are so needing of you. So as we go throughout this week and the season that is upon us, let us know who is with us, not only you, but who you've provided for us in our life. In your name we pray. Amen.